Well, good evening. I didn't hear anybody. Y'all here? Good evening. All right, that's better. I know it's cold outside, but we can respond a little bit. On this trip, we looked down at Atlanta. It was going to be warm, and I meant to bring a coat, and this is of all times I forgot to bring a coat. Left it at the house, and I'm freezing, but I'm surviving at the same time. But thankfully, we're going home tomorrow. I'll get back to the warmth a little bit. But it's good to be in God's house. Good to be here with you, as always. Just to echo what Brother Clint said, it's a blessing always to be here among home and family, our home church where we were raised, and it's always a privilege to be able to preach the Word of God to you. And that's what I want to do tonight. I just want to preach the Word, give God all glory and point you to Jesus. And so let's take our Bibles and make our way to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts chapter number 8, if you would. And this will actually come into the text preceding what Brother Clint preached this morning. And you'll see some of the same themes that may tie together. But I want to read this passage, a very familiar passage to all of us, about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And I'm going to begin there in verse 26. And we'll come down through verse number 40. And I pray that God's Word will just really convict and comfort your heart here this evening and challenge us in what His Word calls us to do. Acts chapter number 8, verse 26 down through verse 40. And let's read our text together here this evening. Notice that the Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip, and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Title of the message this evening is Join This Chariot. Join This Chariot. When you think about the Great Commission that God has given us as His local church, the mission of the Great Commission, how does He accomplish that mission? Friend, He accomplishes that mission through people like you and like me. You say, well, how does He accomplish that mission through people like you and like me? By you and I using our voices, our tongues, to tell others about the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's individual. That's us. That's what we've been commissioned to do. It's a pretty simple plan, but that's the plan that God has set in motion. God chose to use His people in that plan of spreading the gospel throughout the world. Now, could God have chosen a different method? Sure, He could have, right? He's God. He can do whatever He wants. I mean, He could have commissioned all of His angels to go into all the world simultaneously and just start preaching the gospel to every creature on the planet. I mean, he could cause every animal and every location in the world just to start speaking and talking to men, preaching the gospel. He could use trees or rocks, or he could use an infinite amount of avenues to accomplish his mission. But I will say, I don't know why God chose to use us. I'm not going to say what His purpose is in that, but I do believe there's a difference between you and angels and animals and all created things. What's the difference between us and all created things? The difference is, you and I have experienced the saving power of the gospel. Angels have not experienced that. Animals have not experienced that. Friend, you and I have experienced Jesus. We know Him. We know the power of His message. We know what He's done in our life. And so as we come to the book of Acts is such a marvelous, marvelous book. It's a book about the spread of the gospel through ordinary people like you and I. Sometimes we look at Peter and John and Philip and some of these apostles and others that were with them. Like, man, they were superheroes of the faith. And I want you to understand there's no such thing as a superhero of the faith. There's just ordinary men and women who are faithful that are just like you and I. Amen. Just like us. And so understand that God has a design and purpose to use you in the mission of the gospel spreading throughout. Now, Jesus told His church in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, He said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." But He went on to say this, that you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, what you see through the book of Acts, you go through Acts chapters 1 through 7, you see the gospel there in the area of Jerusalem. You come to Acts 8 and forward, I believe it's on up to about chapter 12, and you'll see the gospel in Judea and Samaria area. It's spreading. You go on to chapter 13 and on beyond, you see the gospel going to the uttermost parts of the world, friend. What Jesus said you'll have power to do, that's being accomplished. And that mission has not stopped. That mission that was happening then is still happening now. And all the powers of hell cannot stop it. You know why? Because we have a Savior that has all authority and all power. And friend, His gospel is unstoppable. Satan may hinder, but he will never bring a stop to the power of the gospel. Aren't you glad that it kept spreading across the world, throughout history? To a time when you in your life, you think back to that time when you heard the gospel. And how the power of the gospel convicted your dead soul. And friend, brought you to Jesus. Understand the power of the gospel. And so the spread of the gospel must continue in all places. And I must move along here. But let me give you three headings throughout this text. I want to point out to you that I believe will be beneficial for us to see. Three headings here within the text. And we'll look at what God has for us and we'll go home. And we'll try to take it with us as we go home and apply it to our life. The first thing I want you to see is the calling of Philip. The calling of Philip. And I want to point out a couple things about his calling. The first thing I see about Philip's calling is it was a strange call. It was strange. You say, why was it strange? Well, when you look at the text and the whole of chapter number 8, where is Philip at this point in time? Well, Philip is in Samaria. Philip's in Samaria. When he gets the call in verse 26 where the angel says, I want you to go down to Gaza, Philip's in Samaria. When persecution was coming on the church began to spread, and as they spread, they took the gospel with them wherever they went. And so persecution was being used to spread the gospel message. And Philip is there in Samaria, and he's preaching the gospel of Jesus. I mean, he's preaching the gospel. He's doing wonders and signs. And as you read through this text, and I won't have, for time's sake, I won't read all of it, but you go read verse 6 down through verse 8. How is the gospel being received in Samaria? Man, they're rejoicing in it. They're believing in it. In fact, as in Samaria, God is doing such a powerful work that news comes back to Jerusalem and they've got to send some apostles to go to Samaria to come check this out. Go look at verse number 14, I believe it is. You'll see that word got back to Peter and John. And they're hearing about God doing this awesome work in Samaria. These people getting saved. And so they come and check it out. It's one of those things that the word was spreading. God was working. Souls were being saved. Disciples being made. But then we come to verse 26. And the Lord wants Philip, He says, arise. Go toward the south. Unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. I mean, doesn't that seem kind of like a strange call? You're in a city where
God is working in great power and glory. Souls are coming to Christ. And God, now you want me to leave?
You want me to leave where you're working, where the gospel is being received and where signs are being done? All the power of God. You want me to leave this place and go down to Gaza, which is desert? Is there anybody there? Who's there? Put yourself in Philip's shoes for a moment. You're experiencing this great revival. Would you want to leave it? Would you want to leave it and go somewhere else? And friend, what we see here is that God oftentimes works in callings that may seem strange to us. It's all through the Bible. The call of Noah to build an ark because the whole world's going to flood. Quite a strange call, isn't it? I mean, who would have thought of such? The call to Abram to leave his country and come to a land in which he had never been or seen before. The call to Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt and God leads them to a dead end at the Red Sea where it looks like all is hopeless. The call to Joshua to lead Israel to walk around Jericho. And by walking around the city of Jericho, they're going to get victory over Jericho. I mean, it's strange. It's ridiculous. It sounds crazy in the mind of our comprehension. What's God going to do here? Why is He asking me to do this? Friends, what looks like a strange call is often a sovereign call. It's a call in which God is in control. He has a plan. See, God's ways, they surpass our limited understanding. And I have to always remind myself of Isaiah 55 and verse 8, where God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts.
That's right.
Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." In fact, He goes on to say, "As high as the heavens are above the earth." That's the distance of how much greater my thoughts are than your thoughts. And so we must remember that wonderful truth and that brings us to the purpose of this calling. It was a strange call, but not only that, understand this, it was a strategic call. It was strategic, okay? And notice this, the angel tells Philip, go down to Gaza, which is desert. Now when you look at Gaza, Gaza was the last watering place, last stop for water on your route from Jerusalem down to Egypt. And so you better fill up at Gaza or you're going to be heading into trouble, right? About like passing your last gas exit and you're on E and you think, oh man, maybe I can make the next one, but you got about 100 miles to go or 50 miles to go. You can't get there. Okay, so Gaza's down there about that area. Now, if God was calling Philip to this unlikely place for ministry, there was an eternal purpose behind it. There was a man there. One man. Ready to be saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You think, is it worth it just for one man? Is it worth it just for one man? For time's sake, I won't take you there, but jot down Luke 15, 4 through 6. Go read it later. Jesus talks about the man who leaves the 99 sheep to find the one. And he goes and searches till he finds the one and he brings it back rejoicing. You see, I heard a quote one time. It said, it seems illogical to leave the 99 just for one. Until you're that one.
Yeah, that's right.
Until you're that one.
Amen.
Now understand this, that this is what's happening here, is that there in Gaza, there's a sheep that needs to be rescued by the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd came to seek and save that which was lost. But put yourself in Philip's shoes. Did Philip know what was in Gaza? He wasn't told what to expect. He didn't know what to expect. But understand this. God's calling is not based on our knowing. It is based on His knowing.
Amen.
It's based on His knowing, not ours. And I have to say this, that if we knew everything that we were going to experience ahead of time in God's calling of our lives, we would all practice selective obedience. If we knew what was coming, we would practice selective obedience. Now, if God's calling me to go witness to a guy down the street, and I know for a fact that guy's going to sock me in the jaw, I'm not going to be real eager to go down there. But if I know that ahead of time, for sure, that this guy, man, he's going to weep over his sin and get saved, he's going to trust Christ, I'm running there, right? God doesn't tell us ahead of time what's coming because He wants us to practice simple, faithful obedience to everything He calls us to do. Because whether we have suffering or whether we have great fruit and joy, both are for the glory of God. Both of them are. And so what do we find here? Philip does not know what's going to happen. And understand this, that we must always obey God, no matter what His calling is. I love Philip's response. Look at verse 27. The Bible says he gets this call, go down to Gaza. The Bible says that he arose and went. I mean, no delay, just simple obedience. Just simple, steadfast obedience. And may I say that that is the duty of every Christian. Simple obedience. Without question, just obedience to God. Luke chapter number 6 and verse 46, Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?"
Amen.
Friend, if He is truly Lord, we must yield and obey everything. So we need to surrender to the call. Notice with me number two. I must move along for time's sake. But notice with me number two. Not only do we see the calling of Philip, I want you to see the second heading. It's the communication of the gospel. And this communication of the gospel here, understand, it's an opportunity from God. Now, let me ask you this. Do you believe God opens doors of opportunity to share the gospel? Absolutely. I hope you do. You're looking at one right now. You've probably experienced some times in your life in which God opened up a door of opportunity for you to share the gospel. Paul speaks about that. You read 2 Corinthians 2:12. He said, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord." You think God opens doors to reach specific people with a specific status who can further advance the gospel even beyond you?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at this Ethiopian eunuch. We learn that he was a man of Ethiopia. Now, Ethiopia here is not the land of the country today. It's known in the Bible as the land of Cush. And so it's not the modern-day Ethiopia, but it's actually more south of Egypt to what is modern-day Sudan. But we see that this eunuch was of great authority. He's under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure. He's got a great status. He's got great responsibility. He's got great influence. And this eunuch was on his way back to Ethiopia because he had been to Jerusalem to worship. And I watch this. Though he's a Gentile, all right, he's not a Jew, he feared the one true God. God was working in this Ethiopian. And though he was a eunuch and was not by the law allowed to enter the temple, yet he has his own copy of the scripture and he's reading it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some restrictions to this guy. There's some separation to this guy. And what we see here is that God's working in him despite all those things. And so Philip obeys. He comes down to Gaza and he sees him reading the Bible. And what book of the Bible is he reading? He's reading the Old Testament book of Isaiah. I mean, Isaiah is a pretty big book. It's a pretty big book. I mean, it's a great book. But here's the moment of truth. Now, where I want you to see this. Philip sees this, and then in verse 29, what does God tell him? What's the Spirit say? He says to Philip, "Go near. Join this chariot."
Amen.
Go near. Join this chariot. Go to him. Climb up in that chariot with him. Something's going to happen here, Philip. Go up to him and join him in that chariot. And there it is, friend. That's a God-given opportunity and command to go get near this Ethiopian and tell him about Jesus. Do you think those kind of things still happen in your life where obviously God's not going to speak to you audibly, but you know that there's opportunity and you must share Christ with this person? Have you ever had an opportunity to share Christ with somebody and you knew at that time that this is, I have to tell this person?
Yeah.
Working at Kroger, oftentimes, you know, we'd go back to the break room and you have about 15-minute break. And I was always burdened for the people I was working for. And you should be burdened about the people that you're working with. Amen?
Sure.
We need to be gospel and soul-minded. Understand this, I would go back there and I'd be burdened with them and I would look for opportunity to share the gospel with them. If the room was crowded and loud, I knew it really wasn't a good opportunity. But man, if there's just one person and they started the break same time I did and we're just alone in there, oh man. I would think to myself, man, I wonder if this person knows Jesus. And there'd be times I knew God wanted me to talk talk to this person about Jesus. There were times that I did. I would talk to them about Jesus. Whether they believe or not, I don't know. That's not up to me. That's not in my power. But there were times that I knew I should have talked to somebody, and I didn't. I thought, break's about over. I can't do it. They're probably going to listen anyway. And I can tell you, every time I knew that I was supposed to talk to somebody and I didn't, I was miserable inside. I knew that I had disobeyed a plain opportunity. And I would beg God, God, please open another opportunity. Give me another chance to talk to this person. And sure enough, guess what? That chance would come about. Friend, God is in the business of opening doors for you to speak the gospel to the people around you in your life. What chariot must you join in your life? What chariots in your life, in your circle of life, around you, you know you need to talk to somebody. God's put them on your heart. You know you need to talk to them about the gospel. George Whitfield said this, man, this is a good quote. God forbid that I should travel with anyone a quarter of an hour without speaking of Christ to them. Man, if I could just have that same kind of zeal and passion for the gospel. Friend, what we see here, what's Philip's response? What do we see here? Well, Philip, he tells him, go join thyself to the chariot. And then we see in verse 30 what happens. Well, Philip, he just kind of lollygagged and just walked real slow. No, the Bible says Philip ran. I mean, he runs to the chariot, and he goes and gets up in the chariot with him, and he gets up there, and he realizes here that he's reading the gospel of Isaiah. I love his immediate obedience. For we need greater sensitivity to the leading of the Holy Spirit and more mindfulness of our souls around us. But notice with me, letter B, as we come to the second aspect of the communication of the gospel. I want you to see that there's a clarity about Jesus. And man, I love this. I love this. Verse 30, he asks him, do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading? Go with me to the book of Isaiah 53 very quickly. I have to read at least this text, all right? I know we're short on time, but that's okay. Isaiah 53, he says, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian eunuch's response is, how can I except some man should guide me? Who in our life maybe has interest in the gospel, interest in Christ, and they need guidance to the truth about Him? They need guidance to the truth about Him. And so he comes up and we see that this divine appointment, he's reading Isaiah. And think about it, Isaiah has 66 books. And of all the chapters he's reading, where is he reading? He's reading Isaiah chapter 53. You know what Isaiah chapter 53 is about? It's the most explicitly detailed Old Testament passage about the sufferings of Christ. Coincidence? Absolutely not. I want you to see Isaiah 53. We've got to see Christ here. Verse 4, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. All we like a sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted. Yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so opened He not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was He stricken. And He made His grave with the wicked, with the rich in His death, because He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. Oh, how I would love for some person to be reading this passage of Scripture and say, can you help me with this? You can imagine that? I mean, you know how hard it is to start a conversation and then lead it to Jesus? But this guy's reading Isaiah 53 and he says, can you help me understand this? I mean, I bet Philip's like a little kid on Christmas morning, just can't wait to unpack this and unwrap this all about Jesus. And so what does Philip do? You come down in the text and what's it say? He preached Jesus to him. He preached Jesus to him. And I want you to understand, friend, that is the mission of every single one of us. It is to preach Jesus to every soul at every opportunity we get. Why? Because only Jesus can save.
Amen.
Only Jesus can save. Friend, all through the New Testament we read of the suffering Lamb dying for sinful men as a substitute. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2, verse 22 through 24, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live in righteousness by whose stripes we were healed. All of the Bible is about Jesus. And not just that, friend. All of life and eternity is about Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus must be the centerpiece of our life in every aspect. And so we see this evangelism account. What an awesome thing it does. But what does this preaching lead Jesus to? Let me close this final point. Notice with me number 3, the third heading. I want you to see the conversion of the Ethiopian. The conversion of the Ethiopian. I want you to see the Ethiopian firstly. He believes. I mean, that's it. So simple. He believes. You come to verse 36 in Acts chapter number 8. And what do we see? They went on their way and there was certain water. And the eunuch said, see, what does hinder me from being baptized? He had some knowledge about being baptized. And say, well, why can't I do it? What do I need? And Philip gives him the prerequisite of being baptized. He says in verse 37, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe, the eunuch says this, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
You understand this? Belief is the essence of conversion. Understand the reality that we see here. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Friend, if a person does not believe on Christ, they are not born again.
Right.
If they do believe on Christ, they are born again. It's plain and simple. 1 John 5:1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.
Amen.
And I must point out that when you look at this experience, you'll notice that Philip did not take the Ethiopian eunuch into some kind of sinner's prayer or some kind of calculated evangelism technique. Friend, the vast majority of men I know today, they would love to get a person to come to this point and take them to a repeat after me prayer, which is nowhere found in the Bible. You can't hinge your salvation on that. Salvation's not in a prayer, it's in a person. Jesus! Jesus and Jesus alone, friend. Now understand this, that when I say that, I'm not saying that if you prayed at your conversion that you're not saved. That's not what I'm saying. I did. I'm just telling you that prayer had nothing to do with it. That it was a work of God and a faith in your heart by a risen and living Savior. Don't hinge your salvation assurance on a prayer, you said. Hinge it upon a Savior who died and rose again.
Amen.
He has taken care of sin once for all. And that is it, friend. It is all in Him. And so understand, this is the message of the gospel. And understand that you and I, we are to do what Philip did. We're to preach Christ to the lost. That is our duty. It is not your duty to convert the lost. It's God's business.
Amen.
We are messengers with a message. And the message of power comes from God alone. You're not accountable to convert people. We're accountable to tell people to repent and believe the gospel. Jesus, when He started His ministry, Mark 1:15, He said, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent! Believe! The gospel! Repent and believe the gospel! When the Philippian jailer came broken before the Apostle Paul and said, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe on Jesus and thou shalt be saved. It's that simple, friend. I want you to understand that evangelism is not as complicated as we make it out to be.
Amen. That's right.
There's a lot of circles of people that have made it that way. promoting their numbers and their techniques and their manipulations. Understand this. You keep the gospel as it is. You tell somebody about Jesus and you've done your job. You don't have to be some Bible scholar to share the plain gospel of what Jesus has done for sinners. That's it. You share the gospel. Sow the seed. Water the seed. And who gives the increase? You know it. Who? God does. God gives that increase. Friend, that is a glorious, glorious truth for us. We are messengers with a message. The Ethiopian, he believes. This is his conversion. But I want you to lastly see this, that the evangelism continues. The Bible says in verse 38 that the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. I could go into a little bit about what that means, but we'll forego it for now. But what you find is that Philip was found at Azotus, and he journeyed on to Caesarea. There in verse 40. But as he is going, what's he doing? He's preaching. He preached in all the cities as he was going. And may I say that that is the principle of Christianity that we should adopt. That as we're going, we take the gospel with us.
Amen.
When you have opportunity to share the gospel, you do it. Because the gospel is the only thing that has the power to save. Wherever God's people go, the gospel must go with them. But it doesn't stop with Philip. What about the Ethiopian eunuch? Do you think he went back to Ethiopia silent about the gospel?
No way.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Think about this strategic call of God to bring Philip down to one man who's going to an entirely different continent. And he takes the gospel to an entirely different continent. Africa. Africa. From Israel. And that went on to Europe. It went all over the world.
Right.
He took the gospel with him. And that is the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Friend, like Clint said this morning, holding the rope, we never know how we're going to impact the person on the other side. And I got to thinking about this I was just reviewing this message. Think about the eunuch. You know, they didn't have like Facebook and cell phones and email and all that. They couldn't like exchange numbers. Say, hey, let me get in touch with you. We'll connect sometime. The Ethiopian eunuch just went on his merry way. Probably never saw Philip again. And I'm going to tell you something. He never forgot about him.
Amen.
He never forgot about him. He never forgot about him. And it all comes down to one man who is obedient. He joined the chariot of that eunuch. What chariot do you need to join? Who in your circle of life has been heavy on your heart about needing Jesus? Now, I want you to think about this. Why do you think they're heavy on your heart? Could it be that God is already working on them too? And the simple obedience of you at the right opportunity, talking to them about Jesus, is all that will be needed to change a person's life forever.
Amen.
Would you join the chariot of those that are around you? Would you preach Jesus just as Philip did? I want to challenge you, church. Be as the early church. Take Jesus with you. Take Jesus with you. Share Him with everybody that you get opportunity to do it with. Every opportunity, the seed of the gospel must be spread. Let's stand to our feet. Father in heaven, God, we come before You and we thank You. Thank You, Father, for this wonderful example of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Lord, You put that in Scripture for a reason. Well, that's a one-on-one encounter of someone following Your call, sharing the gospel with another man. He gets saved and takes it to another place. Oh, Father, I wish we could recognize that You're still doing that today, in and through Your local church and Your people. Father, I know there's so many people that are lost around us in our lives. Burden our hearts for them. If we are careless for souls, help us to recognize how cold we really are. Draw us back unto Yourself. And I pray, God, that You would use us to reach many souls for Your glory and kingdom with the gospel. Have your will and way in this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.